Somehow, Rick, we are live on Blog Talk Radio. It's the Asylum Fantasy Football Show at asylumfantasyfootball.com.
Yeah, I guess we're alive. I mean, I thought you were going to blow an artery through your ears. Oh, my God. Yes, he is absolutely correct. We need to be video because I tell you what, he always complains about me being grumpy and having temper tantrums. If you guys could have saw him in the last 15 minutes, it would have been gold. He has broken a lamp. I'm not exaggerating.
No, he's not.
He has broken a lamp, gone through two computers.
True.
And we barely got it going now, so hopefully we'll stay online. But we are Fligger and Briggs. We're on the Asylum Fantasy Football Show. We are exhausted, and we just got started because of this stupid equipment, and it started with trying to get hooked up, and it wouldn't let us hook up, and then things started flying. It pretty much
went downhill from there. That was the highlight when we couldn't get in. So sorry about that. If you're still with us on Blog Talk, which I really doubt you are, as we are now 20 minutes late, we are here. Thanks for joining us. So let's do a regular beginning of the show. I'll tell you what, Rick, you know what we're going to do? I'm going to pull an audible. Ready? Watch this. We're going to start all over again. We're going to start from fresh like it's a brand new show. You ready?
No.
We'll fade it out quicker.
Please.
Live on Blog Talk Radio, it's the Asylum Fantasy Football Show at asylumfantasyfootball.com.
Yes, I believe I said we are Fligger Briggs, and we are live on sort of on Blog Talk Radio, no matter how late we are, but you can find us at asylumfootball@gmail.com. Drop us a line on this smooth intro that we just had.
Absolutely. Check us out on Twitter, @AsylumFootball, and check us out. We will be on preceding the SRU game this Saturday on the 88.1 FM WSRU, the Voice of the Rock. Apologies to you folks for having to play that beginning. So, Rick, let's not waste any more time. I'm going to try and calm down. Let's get right into we're coming up here. Week four already. It's hard to believe.
And it's already started as Baltimore and Cleveland game is already complete. Actually, it was a pretty close game. It wasn't all that entertaining, I guess, but I don't know. Baltimore's got a pretty good offense. That Cleveland defense is not that bad. And Joe Flacco, what, 337 yards again? Torrey Smith tearing it up.
356, actually.
356, excuse me.
Touchdown, rushes for a touchdown. A huge fantasy week for Joe Flacco. So let's start with this game. Let's start with Joe Flacco. Is this the real Joe Flacco? Is this guy a legitimate fantasy start week in and week out? This is 2 out of 3 weeks or two out of four, maybe even hinging on 3 out of 4. This guy's put up these kind of numbers.
Well, you know, he's taken over the lead in passing. So, I mean, albeit he's played more games than like Eli and some of them. However, you know, he's been up there and he's got over 1,200 yards in 4 games. He's averaging over 300 yards a game. Yeah, you got him on your squad. I mean, unless you got him penned with, you know, Drew Brees or somebody, he's going to be a must-start.
Yeah, I'm starting to believe it. And who would have thunk it going into the season that Joe Flacco is a must-start?
Joe Flacco, apparently.
Yeah, well, he knew. Yeah, he said that, and I believe you roundly mocked him, if I remember correctly.
I did.
All right, well, good. A few more takeaways from that game. Ray Rice, only 18 for 49, no touchdowns. Seems that Cleveland really managed to shut them down.
Yeah, and I think he had about the same receiving yards as well. Not that great of a day for Ray Rice. But, you know, like I said, Cleveland wasn't that bad of a defense. Pretty good game. And, you just kind of have those games now and again, especially a division game with Ray Rice. He's not going to blow it up every week. And those AFC North games, they're tough.
Yeah, a few more from there. Something I found interesting, Torrey Smith again. I believe we had a question about him. I don't know if you have that one. But 6 for 97 and a touchdown, another nice week out of Torrey Smith. And Anquan Boldin, where did this come from? 9 for 131.
Yeah, and he came alive in the second half. Huge. I think he only had like 1 or 2 catches in the first half.
He generally has 1 or 2 catches most first half.
Yeah.
So this second half of the game is what I find to be a bigger surprise.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, and, you know, you look at the stats just at first glance, you know, it was a real shootout. You know, 356 yards for Flacco, 320 yards for Whedon. But, you know, if you take a look at the numbers just a little closer, you know, Flacco, 28 of 46, a 61% completion, 356 and a touchdown, plus he ran one in. Whedon, on the other hand, he's 25 of 52, yeah, 48%. Yeah, he had the 320 yards, no touchdowns, one crucial interception. And I think there's some of the differences you're starting to find in Joe Flacco as he's maturing over some of these other guys.
I'll tell you, one thing I will take away from it, nothing fantasy-wise, you know, I understand under 50% threw a crucial interception, but for the second time to see Whedon going up for big yardage, is this a turnaround for the Cleveland Browns, or is this the NFL now that he's almost, you could almost argue after week one, now he's consistently throwing for 300 yards. That's interesting. Cleveland never able to move the ball, and here we are twice he's gone off for big yardage. I'm not saying, you know, this guy's a waiver wire pickup in your fantasy league, but I just think interesting on a bad team, on a bad offense, in games with bad turnouts, he's managing to put up at least a lot of yardage, which certainly Colt McCoy, Jake DeLone before him, none of those guys ever managed to do.
Yeah, I'm sure he's probably an upgrade there. You know, they're getting behind. A lot of it is kind of junk points, although they really weren't totally out of this game, and they had a shot. But they're not really running down anybody's throat either. Richardson, he had that one big game against Cincinnati, I believe. But that was another losing effort there.
Well, I'll tell you, for Trent Richardson, 14 for 47 in a touchdown against the Ravens defense, pretty impressive. Also caught four balls for 77 yards. So from a fantasy standpoint, a pretty nice week out of Trent Richardson.
Yeah, I mean, not like that one week, but, yeah, certainly serviceable, I guess. And, you know, if you want to look at it that way. Yeah, I mean, he's got what?
That's a 21-point week in a PPR league. I call that more than serviceable.
Yeah.
That's RB1 numbers.
Yeah.
4 for 77.
Yeah, that's 4 for 77.
There's 11 points, 47 yards, 15, and the touchdown's 21. Starting to look like he is going to average close to a touchdown a week, which I think would be big, take a lot of the question marks away, save for injuries. You know, comfortable as a number two, an RB2, which, depending on when you drafted later on in the draft season, later closer to Labor Day, that's where you were getting him. And as an RB2, I'd be ecstatic with that.
Yeah, I mean, well, we talked about Trent Richardson there a week or so ago. Certainly comfortable with him in RB2, flex, something like that. And, you know, we never thought he'd be the RB1 numbers. But, yeah, he's going to be a good RB2, no doubt about it. And, you know, getting up some of these late scores for Cleveland, he's going to be the benefactor there at the goal line, I'm sure.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So, all right, well, let's move past that game. Too late to do anything about that. Say, Rick, we'll do some headlines. We'll answer. I know you have a few questions you picked out of the pile we're going to answer. Maybe you don't as you throw your arms up. I mean, this show is going fantastic. We'll give you our starts and sits of the week at each position. And if we have time, you know, hold your breath. If you have time, we're going to get into another rendition. And we're going to try and do this every Friday of your favorite game, Fact or Fiction.
Well, it is sweeping the nation.
Absolutely.
Much better than I Have a Quiz for You.
Yeah. Well, I have. Ooh, we could change the name. I kind of like that. I Have a Quiz for You. I like it. So let's get into just a few headlines, some things that stuck out to me. Hakeem Nicks doubtful, that knee's swelling back up. He's tried practicing this week, not going well. So looking like he's going to be out for the Philadelphia game. One thing I want to bring up, Rick, I think we were remiss in not mentioning even last Friday and Tuesday, you know, it's been those two shows since this game. Rasmus Bardon in his stead last week goes off for 9 for 138. I don't know if he was a waiver wire guy. Any interest in the way the Giants are moving that ball?
Well, with the health problems Nicks has, yeah. I mean, no doubt. I mean, I thought it was going to be a one-game thing the way everyone was talking with Hakeem Nicks. And, you know, quite frankly, I didn't give him a whole lot of notice. I mean, he looked good in the game. But, you know, Nicks stays banged up. This guy's filling in quite nicely.
Yeah, no question about it.
And you know Eli's going to throw it, and the Giants are going to move the football.
Yeah, I think Victor Cruz, a huge benefactor here, should still be a continue to be. Although these games, these division games, especially in that East, you get the Broncos, the Eagles, the Giants, these teams involve wacky things happen. That thing could go 54-52. It could go 9-6 just as easily. I always get nervous in these NFC East games.
Yeah, indeed. And I don't know how the Broncos worked into that.
Did I say the Broncos? Yeah. Oh, well, we're all
no, he's really flustered, ladies and gentlemen.
I am. I broke a lamp, for God's sake. That's not a lie. I wish you all were here.
Yeah.
So let's move on. Chan Gailey says, and here we go, he thinks he's Bill Belichick, apparently. Both Fred Jackson and C.J. Spiller have legitimate shots to play this week. Fred Jackson actually managed to practice 3 days this week. Spiller's practiced 2 days in a row. Coming up in a game against the Pats that you'd think you could run the ball on. As an owner of both these guys, Rick, what do? I know we spent 15 minutes on this on Tuesday. This doesn't make me feel any better. I thought I had a week or two guaranteed of Fred Jackson.
Well, the thing against me is I'm not real sure. You know, we have a shot at Spiller and Jackson, but what does that mean? Does that mean Tassar Choice is going to have the bulk of the carries and maybe these guys will play?
Well, that's the concern. I don't think you can start either of them this week, really.
No, I don't think so,
to be honest with you. As bad as that Spiller injury looked, I have a hard time believing he's going to be ready for contact in a week.
Yeah, I do too. I think there's some mind games going on there, and I got a feeling that if you were one of those guys that went out on the wire and picked up Choice, I think he may be a flex start, to be honest with you. No doubt about it. I think you could get him in there and not worry too much about Spiller or Jay. I think Jackson is probably more in danger of taking some carries than Spiller is. I don't think they want to lose this guy.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think if they can get them both back, I think they both would be limited. I honestly would be surprised if Spiller managed to play. I know he's been practicing, but to my point earlier, he hasn't taken contact yet. And with that shoulder injury, he can't be ready for contact. But I agree with you 100%. As much as I hate to do that on Choice, they've been able to run the ball no matter who they plugged in there. Patriots is a defense you can run on a little bit. I agree. I think you grab Tashard Choice, and then you're just going to have to take it right up to the wire on Sunday morning, try and figure out what's going on.
Yeah, you have to follow as close as you can and see what you can come up with. I got a question for you in that same game.
All right.
A lot of activity first part of the year with Stephen Ridley. Virtually disappeared as some, you know, New England backs tend to do. Danny Woodhead all of a sudden showed up last year. Do you start them?
No.
What do you do with them?
I mean, my problem is I don't have him in any league, number one. I never bought into this whatsoever, and he came out and he had that nice week one. I don't think it was ever settled between him and Shane Vereen, save for the injury Vereen's had. So he's coming back. They're working Woodhead in. Woodhead's playing well in his spots, and this is what Belichick does. You just don't know. Here's what I can guarantee you. There will be three or four games before this season's over where Ridley goes off like that and gets between 20 and 25 carries. But that's all it's going to be. There's going to be games where he virtually disappears. This guy, by virtue of being a starting running back in the NFL, when you're talking fantasy football, as slim as things are, this guy, you're going to have him on your roster, a reasonable flex start at most for me. I'm not counting on this guy for anything week to week in my RB position.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, couple weeks ago, maybe 3 weeks ago, when Dennis Farrell was on, we were talking about New England kind of looked like back in the days when they actually won the Super Bowls with the good running game with Ridley and so on and so on, and now they seem to abandon the run. I mean, Danny Woodhead averaged like 2.3 yards a carry, and he was Woodhead. And, you know, Belichick, I know, likes him, and he can catch the ball. He's quick.
He's a Belichick
everything.
Guy.
Exactly.
He looks just like Edelman. He looks just like Welker.
Right.
I mean, these are the guys Belichick likes,
yeah.
And he wins with them. Although you'd be remiss if you didn't mention, we talked about they come out, they run the ball, they dominate in week one. You were all over that, saying it looked like the Corey Dillon days. They get away from it the last 2 weeks, and here they sit 1-2, which is really rare for a New England Patriots and a Tom Brady-led team.
I know. It makes you wonder, but I'm like you. I'm not buying into the Ridley thing. I don't think Belichick's going to go to any type of run-heavy offense.
No doubt about it. That's what they do. You got Tom Brady. They throw the ball. They throw the ball first. I'll play Ridley as a flex every week. Probably, unless I've got a better option, but this guy I'm just not counting on in my running back position. Moving on, Reggie Bush after that knee injury on pace to play this week versus Arizona. I think that's the key part, though. Even if he does start, I'm nervous of anybody going up against that Cardinals defense right now.
Yeah, you and me both. I mean, they are a swarming bunch, and I mean, they just befuddled the Philadelphia Eagles last week, and you know, we talked about that game, and they're a rough and tumble bunch, and I don't know if Miami has what it takes to exploit them, because I tell you what, they know that goes through Reggie Bush.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Impressed, we didn't talk much about Daniel Thomas last week? Any that mean anything to you with Bush out? Do you worry as well as he played while Bush was out, he starts to steal a little bit of carries there?
Yeah, I mean, you know, one thing Arizona does is you can run on them. They've been giving up over 100 yards a game in rushing. I think it's around 106 yards a game. And, you know, there's probably some value there if Miami's going to run.
Yeah, no question about it. So moving on, last little bit of news I have, I think that's real fantasy relevant. Matt Forte continues to be limited in practice. Most rumors are he's not going to play. Michael Bush banged up, but saying he will play. Going up against a fairly good Dallas defense, what do you make of that whole situation? Bush, my start of the week last week, sort of disappointed, did manage to find the end zone, get double-digit fantasy points. But in terms of a start of the week, I didn't really see it there. What are your thoughts going into that Monday night game with everybody banged up?
Well, somebody's going to have to play, and if Bush says he's going to play, I would have him in there.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. I think Brandon Marshall is a must-start going against those Dallas safeties. And but, you know, we were high on Cutler in the preseason. He certainly hasn't lived up to it as yet, that's for sure. And, you know, Chicago, I think, is going to either, you know, they're going to fall badly or they're going to right the ship and they're going to get it going. But I'm not sure what it is right now because Cutler, I'm a little iffy on him right now.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's not matchup-based. That's what's frustrating with a Jay Cutler. Against bad teams, he'll struggle. Against good teams, he'll have success. I was with you, Rick. I had him strongly in that top 12 preseason, meaning he's an every week start. He's just not there now. And in fact, if I can find a better option either on my bench or on the waiver wire, I think I'm sitting this guy down until he seems to get it right. And the kid hasn't had his head right in his entire career, so I just don't know if he's worth the risk. He can easily go out and put you up 30, 35 points. He can just easily give you two, 3 or 4 weeks in a row, which he's done 2 weeks in a row now, and I don't know if I want any part of that.
Yeah, you know, fortunately they're sitting at 2-1, but I don't think he's fully recovered from that onslaught from the Green Bay defense at that one game, and he still didn't look good last week. Although they did pull out a win, so we'll just have to see. Dallas can be exposed. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So let's move on there. That's about all I have headline-wise. Why don't we jump in, Rick? I managed to find a couple of the questions here. We'll answer those for you. First one's from our boy Dr. Bunsen, which I think is the best name ever. He wants us to pick two of these three, Ben Tate, Ahmad Bradshaw, or Fred Jackson. And this sort of ties into something we've talked about with, you know, Bradshaw. We got concerns about him. We don't know what's going to happen with Jackson. If you're stuck with these three, which two of these are you going to pick?
So it's Ben Tate, Fred Jackson, Ahmad Bradshaw.
Yeah, the only sure thing there is Ben Tate.
Yeah, I mean, I think Bradshaw's going to play. I don't think I'd want to gamble on Fred Jackson right now. Definitely Ben Tate. He's due for a big game, and being, you know, meaning that he could get half the carries and they could run for 120 yards while Foster runs for 130.
I mean, that's what they do. That's their game.
But yeah, definitely Ben. I'd have to go Tate and Bradshaw, no doubt.
Yeah, you know, I'm concerned. We don't even know for sure Bradshaw's going to play. Looks like he's going to. However, Mr. Brown seems to have come in and set up roots. I know Bradshaw's worked in a platoon system before and been successful in it. My thought, I'm going to disagree. I'm going to agree on the Tate side. If Fred Jackson starts, if he plays, and if he's set to start, I'll go ahead and take a chance on him over an Ahmad Bradshaw. Although I wonder, do you have another option out there, really? Even I'm trying to think of some guys. Could you get Choice off the waiver wire?
Exactly.
That's the first one. Even down to Mark Ingram, who do you have deep on your bench that might be a better shot? Because
Dr. Bunsen has Jaquizz Rodgers.
Yeah,
now, I'm not saying that's much of an alternative because Turner's the guy in Atlanta, and Rodgers certainly hasn't been doing anything either. And I can see his dilemma. You know, I'm like you. I guess if Jackson's going to play, I may go with him. I'm just sitting here right now. From what I've heard, I would think it would be Bradshaw and Tate. I don't know. Maybe Jackson will play.
Yeah, and actually something just coming in from him right now, sort of a follow-up to that. He's obviously decided to go with Tate. Now he's looking for a flex spot. Fred Jackson, Bradshaw, and a guy you brought up, Jaquizz Rodgers, unless I get really, really good news on Fred Jackson Sunday morning, I'm going with Jaquizz in that scenario.
Yeah, he's healthy and he has been playing. So, I mean, yeah, I agree with you there.
Yeah, and another question is part of that. Brandon Marshall or Nate Washington is a starting receiver.
Brandon Marshall.
See, are you sure about that? Now, you said, and I let it slide, and we actually got called on it in the chat room. I never let things slide, and I actually did. You call Brandon Marshall a must-start. Are you sure about that with everything
yeah.
we said about Jay Cutler and his ability to disappear?
I am sure. I am, you know, to me, Brandon Marshall was a lot like Larry Fitzgerald. Not as good, I don't think, but he's close to that caliber, and you just don't bench him for that potential. He put up, 1,200 yards in Miami. And they're going to cut loose in Chicago one of these days, and it may be this week against Dallas.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Normally, I consider this a little bit. I like the home run potential in Nate Washington. Marshall makes me nervous. Biggest problem is you drafted Marshall as your number one receiver. You can't bail now. He's not hurt. It's not his performance issue. I know he has quarterback issues.
I got a quick question for you. Okay, if you have... if you're choosing between Marshall and Washington, I'd love to know what that receiving core is. Okay, because
who's the other one?
Yeah,
because it's not part of the question. Who was the obvious one you didn't ask us about?
Exactly, because I mean, yeah, Washington's a good play. Don't get me wrong. I'm just saying, like you said, I drafted Brandon Marshall as my number one, and I'm going to play him.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I do agree with that. With that said, I am nervous about Marshall. Nate Washington, especially this week, you just put it up against those two, Nate Washington going up against that Houston defense. More importantly, Jake Locker going up against that Houston front seven. I don't really want any parts of that. So I'm going to go Marshall just based on potential alone.
Yeah, I agree there. So, yeah, I mean, I have no doubts on Marshall, and they can call me on the chat room or not. He's a must start.
A must start. So you're just calling them out, saying.
You betcha. Hold
to my guns. I don't think that's the saying, Rick. I think it's stick to my guns.
You stick to your guns. I'll hold mine.
You go ahead and hold them. I don't think they're going to do you any good there. So moving along, that's about all we have for questions. We did have one in the email. I don't have it in front of me, but I remember it's not meaningful now. I did answer it in the email. It was relevant last night, but I think it's an interesting question long term. You saw Sidney Rice get off a little bit last week in that debacle of a Monday night game. There's actually a buddy of mine, Alan. He's a local guy here, a friend of mine, called himself a ghost from my past in the email, which...
Oh, that was a nut that wrote that.
Yeah, that's
a
good place for him in my past.
Gotcha.
He'll appreciate that. But has a talking flex option week to week. I don't think it's much of a question, but I think a lot of people, and this guy's name was brought up in the chat room here, week to week moving forward, Torrey Smith, Sidney Rice in a flex spot. I don't think it's even close.
Yeah, it's not even in discussion. It's Torrey Smith all the way.
Yeah, no, I agree 100%. Torrey Smith, again, what did we say last night? 6 for 97, found the end zone again. As Flacco gets better, as this Ravens offense gets better, Torrey Smith becoming pretty close to a must start every week as a wide receiver too, anyhow, maybe even with some of the disappointments we've had, squeaking into that low-end number one. I like Torrey Smith week to week. I'm going to have a hard time finding 12 guys to start over him.
Oh, no doubt. And Sidney Wright has been, underachieving since the Minnesota day. So,
if this kid can stay healthy and if Wilson can get it going.
He's got the tools, don't get me wrong, but they're just not right yet. Russell Wilson... Maybe it'll click sooner or later, but I mean, we're talking right now. He's not even close to Sidney Rice.
Yeah.
I mean, Torrey Smith.
Yeah, I agree 100%. So that's it for the questions, Rick. I don't even have any idea how much time we have left. The clock's all off today. So let's jump right into our starts and sits. And
computer's broke, too. So.
Did I break it?
Well, you probably did.
I did have a fit. So let's move on. Let's get right into our starts and sits, Rick. I'll let you start it out. Who are you starting at quarterback this week?
Well, in my main league, I'm starting Drew Brees. Oh, excuse me.
No, nobody cares about your league.
Yes, we do. No, I tell you what, Jacksonville's giving up 154.3 yards per game rushing, and I think Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis is an excellent start.
He is an excellent start, however, not at quarterback. Could we have your quarterback start for this week? As
I didn't hear
as
you
before.
Say running quarterback.
I still didn't say running quarterback. I said quarterback.
How'd you like another lamp broken?
There's no more to break. We're sitting here in the dark right now.
Well, let's do running back since I've already tipped the running back. Here, why don't we just do that?
All right. Well, you gave Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis. Unfortunately, as you can tell, we do not consult on these beforehand. We like to surprise each other. He is also who I tagged this week for the same reason. So we will call him the official, as he's become the official quarterback of the Asylum Fantasy Football. Well, now I'm doing it. Official running back of the Asylum Fantasy Football Show. He's our official start of the week, as we both agree Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis is a running back you have to start. So before you have another senior moment, let's stick with the running backs and go to, well, no, you know what? Let's finish the starts. Now could we have a quarterback? They're the guys who throw the ball.
Quarterback. Well, quarterback. See, they run sometimes.
Sometimes, but they
Cam
generally
runs,
throw the ball.
RG3 yeah. runs.
RG3 much better than Cam Newton at it these days.
Yeah, actually, you're right. So we're doing a quarterback start.
One you would like to start, yes.
Well, we can't start Drew Brees, apparently, because,
no.
You know, we can't choose the obvious ones. So, no, I don't have one.
You just flat don't have. He refuses to answer.
No, because you wouldn't follow my lead, so I'm not following yours. No, I tell you what, I don't want to start Carson Palmer against Denver. I don't want him playing in Denver, and I just think that Denver is slowly coming alive a little bit. They're outscoring people in the fourth quarter, something like 72-6 or something like that, even though they're getting outscored in the third quarter. I just don't want anything to do with him in Denver.
Okay, well, that's good. So now we know who Rick Sit of the Week is at the quarterback position. I'll try to pull this ship back in order. The start, just me, I guess, apparently. My quarterback start this week, if you're in a bind, if you have some bad matchups. Love Christian Ponder going up against a suddenly terrible Detroit defense this week. Christian Ponder, impressive so far. Fourth highest passer rating in the league right now. Really come along. Good weapons around him. Percy Harvin healthy, looking good. I like Christian Ponder this week against Detroit.
That's good.
You don't care. You're just completely not interested in starting a quarterback this week.
I started the running back, okay, and then you go start the quarterback. Well, obviously, in my mind, see, I go start sit. See, that's, you know.
I want to do all the starts.
Yeah, you
want to do all the
starts.
Sit.
I like to do start sit. Start sit.
I'm driving this bus, Rick. Just sit down
obviously,
and ride.
Obviously, you're not doing too good because I'm really steering it all over the place here. You know, maybe like one of the fire trucks with a steer wheel in the back.
Yeah, that's
you know.
What about what's happening. We're just spinning in circles right now.
Okay, so I've started a quarterback, a running back, and Ben Jarvis Green-Ellis.
Yes.
And I've sitted a quarterback.
Yes, you've sitted a quarterback.
Yeah, you're sad.
It's just been one of those nights, folks. I hope you didn't tune in for any good fantasy information. You just came to listen to two idiots bumble on because the ship is completely off the track. So now, Rick, if you could be bothered, I'm going to give a wide receiver start. I'll start it out.
Oh, no, I got to do a quarterback start.
All right, start a quarterback. You sure this time?
Playing at home and his last couple weeks' performance, I like Matt Cassel.
Yeah,
against San Diego.
Yeah, interesting one there. Here's a guy. You see his name pop up every now and again, and interesting they're playing San Diego. I've seen it pop up from more than one person questions. I got Castle on my bench. Do I start thinking about sitting him over Phillip Rivers? There's an interesting one. He's sort of getting in that realm. Rivers sliding back.
This could be interesting. They're playing in each other.
Exactly. So something that comes through. I'm not crazy about him going forward. I think week to week in a matchup, bye weeks are coming up. If you start seeing some injuries happening, Castle's interesting. He's probably a 15 to 20 kind of guy. So I think maybe based on matchups, if you got somebody with a bad matchup, Castle's getting interesting. And against San Diego, they've struggled thus far defensively. I like that this week.
Okay. And now we're going a sit for running back.
We're still not going to start a receiver.
Oh, yes, that's right. We're doing start.
Here we go again.
Start, sit. Start, sit. So, you know, we're not giving the listeners start, sit. We're getting them start, sit.
Then sit, yeah. Sit, start.
Okay,
start, sit,
my
sit.
Starting wide receiver. And I like the Redskins have given up 1,012 yards and 10 touchdowns passing. I love Vincent Jackson playing the Skins this week.
Yeah, big start this week. Seen that in other places. I agree. And a guy who's going to be up and down was up 2 weeks ago, down last week. I think he's primed to go off again here this week. The perfect team to go up against to do it. So I agree with that 100%. So now I'm going to give, before you jump in, I know you want to sit people, but I'm going to go ahead and start a receiver before we get there.
Okay, we're starting a receiver.
Starting. This will be the last one. We can do all the sit you want. You can sit anybody you want. I don't care. Any
I
position.
Like sitting. I like
know, but we noticed. You can tell. We got to get some pictures on the website. So I'm going to dig a little deeper, but I'm going to go back to your Kansas City-San Diego game. Dexter McCluster, Steve Breston, both out. Guy we talked about a lot in the preseason is a guy ready to bust out, getting there a little bit already. John Baldwin this week going up against San Diego for the Chiefs with your Matt Castle selection. I like Baldwin this week.
Okay, yeah, man, that's an interesting pick. You know, Dwayne Bowes, we've discussed in previous shows, he's up and down a lot. I mean, when he's up, he's big. And when he's down, sometimes he disappears. But, you know, Baldwin's got the tools. There's no doubt about it. And the more he plays, you know, the more catches he's going to get in that offense. I like that. That's a good pick.
All right. So now, Rick, you can sit somebody. All right. Finally. Now, you've sat a quarterback, I believe. I believe you've already sat Carson Palmer. You were very proud of it. You wanted to get it out there right away. So I'll go ahead and sit a quarterback. Here's a guy I think getting questionable week to week, but I don't like the matchup with the Giants. We talked about this game already. Their ability to turn you over, his nothing Michael Vick loves to do more than turn the ball over. I'm not starting him this week against that New York Giants pass rush.
I agree. The guy has been flustered all year, it seems like. He's throwing like, you know, two picks to every touchdown, and he's getting rattled back there big time.
Yeah, no doubt about it. So let's move on. Have you managed to start a running back yet? You've tried to a couple of times.
I started one.
Yeah.
Jarvis Green-Ellis.
Did you get to sit one yet?
No.
All right, now's your time. It's your time to shine, Mr. Briggs.
I'll tell you another one, though, that we've been talking about, and he's been drafted very high, and it's probably very hard to sit him. But I would temper expectations on Cam Newton against Atlanta this week, too.
Yeah.
You know, they give up, you know, right around 200 yards a game passing. They've had 7 picks. Yeah, Cam Newton hasn't been real sharp this year. And I tell you what, he's starting to show his youth a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. It's sort of a sophomore slump. I'm not sure I like that phrase necessarily, but happening there. 3 weeks now is a trend. You come off the pouting incident. This is going to be the week. Maybe we're dead wrong. And I think if we are, then the season turns around. If he does it one more time after the hissy fit he threw, after the butt chewing he took for Steve Smith, he's either going to man up now, or I think the season's going to be lost. So this is going to be a big game, an important game to watch for Cam Newton this season.
Yes, indeed. So we're going to sit running backs, and I really had one, but I'm not going to put him down. So I'm going to say Seattle gives up less than 59 yards a game rushing, and Steven Jackson's had a, you know, touchy groin. I don't want any part of him right now.
Am I immature that I find it really funny what you just said?
Most likely you are immature because, gee, I spoke a part of the body. Oh.
Well, you said touchy before. That's what made it funny. But we got to get back on track here. But, no, I agree 100%.
There is no track to get back
with on. That touchy groin, as you say, Steven Jackson starting to worry me week to week, but especially against that Seattle defense. Mine a little more obvious. It's something we've talked a lot about, but I've gone completely out. And when I say it this time, I mean I'm actually sitting him. This week, it's not going to blow you away. As Rick shows me, he was going to use this one and backed off of it, so I'm glad. But Chris Johnson, especially against that Houston defense, but in general, until something turns around, Chris Johnson, I'm completely done with him. He's on the bench until something changes.
Yeah, and you know, look, they're going up against that Houston defense, which is very difficult indeed. They've given up, 80 or 67 yards a game rushing. That's no picnic either, and he's just not showing anything. I mean, he's got 45 yards rushing in 3 games. That is a whopping 15 yards per game.
Yeah, and if he's going to turn it around, and I don't at this point don't believe he's going to, but if he's going to turn around, it's not going to be this week against Houston. So definitely a guy I'm sitting down. So let's move on, Rick. We actually have a caller on the line we'll get to. Let's finish our sits. Let's go. What wide receiver are you sitting this week?
That was a real tough one as far as it goes there. It's very hard to, you know, you can sit there and say, well, maybe, you know, sit a – you know, like you said, a John Baldwin, these kind of guys. But when you say a sit, it's almost you almost have to pick like a prominent guy, and that's one reason why I didn't go Cam Newton. But I think Steve Smith is going to have a real modest day, you know, going against Atlanta defense. I could be wrong. See, this is one call that's very difficult because I have the feeling Atlanta could be way ahead and maybe give up some junk points as well.
Yeah, you could see some garbage. And I think the problem with that, while I agree he could struggle, because here's the problem with Steve Smith. Even last year with all the success he had with Cam Newton, when you see him put up these 100, 120, 130-yard games that he's been doing fairly consistently a lot back to last season and so even so far this season, he's doing it on two or three catches. So Cam Newton's struggling. He can't get the deep ball off. If they don't make that one catch, that one 50, 60-yard catch he seems to make every week, he's really going to struggle. So here's a guy. He's obviously an every-week start, a low-end one, definitely a wide receiver too. I'm a little uncomfortable week-to-week starting him with the struggles Newton's having, with obviously the strife between them two. Again, this one's up in the air. This is a coin flip for me. Either Newton responds to it, they're better for it, or the relationship's done, Newton season's done. That's tough. I'd probably stick with him one more week, see what happens with Newton.
Yeah, I don't think the relationship's done. I hold Cam Newton in high regard. I think the guy's a pretty mature guy. He actually came out that he looks at Steve Smith as his big brother. And, you know, he needs that kind of stuff, I guess, from Steve Smith. And I think the relationship's fine. I just think their offense is just off a little bit.
Yeah, and I hope he takes it that way. And you don't know with a guy with Newton's. Got attitude issues back to college.
And another thing, he's going to be drawing that number one coverage. And Brandon LaFell could be the sneaky start of that whole offense right there.
Could be a guy you work in a lot. And he's been good. He's been solid. Hasn't seen the 100-yard mark, but good for five or six catches in that 70-yard range. A safe start if you're in a flex spot, if you got some bye week issues or you got some injuries. My sit, Rick, a guy, you laughed at me if he was a sit in week one, but he's put together a couple good weeks, but I think he's going to struggle this week as the entire Rams team is, as you brought up with Steven Jackson. Danny Amendola, I think these 2 weeks of cartoon numbers end against that Seattle defense.
I agree. That Seattle defense is tough. And I don't think the Rams are that good. And, you know, they actually could be 2-1 pretty easily. But, I agree with you. I don't think he was going to totally stink it up. But if you're looking, you know, you probably got him as your wide receiver 3, I would imagine. And you're starting to get used to these wide receiver 1 numbers.
Yeah.
This is where he comes to earth, I think.
Yeah,
I agree
he comes
with
back
you.
Down. Still a lot of value in a flex spot. I'm sort of comparing him to the Lance Moore this season. He's going to go up for those big games, going to be solid. Clearly Bradford's number one target. However, if you're playing him as a 3, if you got a better option, I'm just nervous against that Seattle defense. So, Rick, we got a call on the line. I'm going to take it. I'm going to take it apprehensively, though, because there's a local 724 area code.
Oh,
so we don't know who it is. Hopefully, just remember, whoever this is, if you are a friend of ours, this does go over on WSRU 88.1 FM, The Rock. So, area code 724, you're on the air.
It's Mertz.
It's Eddie Mertz.
No, it's Bowser, but that was funny, though.
So, what's going on, Mr. Bob?
Well,
I
just wanted to reassure you that when Brink said touchy growing, you were not just being immature. That was a little bit funny.
Excellent. I thought the disgust
is
he gave
that
me.
Like you guys are saying you're a little bit smart? Yeah.
No, not at all. Hold in your guns.
So we'll give you a vote, Rich. Which one is going to be the name of the show this week? I've sitted a QB touchy groin to my guns. Which one would you like to be the title of the episode this week?
You you have to go with sitted.
The people have spoken. I've sitted a QB, Rick, is the
I think you guys planned this just to try to rattle me.
I did it. I forgot you were on. I forgot you were even on. I just happened to turn it on, and I started listening to it, and I heard that. And I'm like, I got to call these guys.
Did you manage to hear my hissy fit at the beginning of the show?
Yeah, how you broke a lamp, and you'll probably get another promotion or something.
Probably.
Something good is going to happen.
Some good things happen when I start busting stuff.
Right.
So, Rich, did you want to talk about your 0-3 team at all? Or
well, actually, I was hoping to get off the line right before that was brought up. So, you know, and quite frankly, I'm still at work, so I kind of have to go.
You're still at work?
Yeah.
Fantastic.
Nice. Now we know where our money's going. All
your
right.
Your tax dollars will. Well, I'd say it was nice to hear from you, Rich, but we don't know that isn't true. So, hopefully,
right.
I'll talk to you again until Monday.
All right, guys. Take care.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks, Rich.
Bye.
All right, we'll call that a win, Rick. You didn't curse anyhow, and I wondered why that number looked familiar. So calling from the home office of the Flieger and Briggs, we won't say exactly where. I don't know what the rules are about that. Don't want to get him fired just yet, because for all the things he'd done, it'd be a shame if this is what he finally went down for.
Yeah, but no, it was nice to hear from him, and he was actually very courteous.
Yeah, he didn't curse at all. So, Rick, we have 20 minutes left. This is really exciting. Don't roll your eyes. That's a good thing.
No, I know. I'm glad. I couldn't believe we only had 20 minutes.
No, that's not what that eye roll meant. So let's get into it, Rick, the game that's sweeping the nation. Our ratings boom every time we do this. We're going to make this a weekly segment now. It's time for facts or fiction. Rick, I will start it off because...
All right.
They heard. It's all right. So,
we're fixed.
All right. I'm going to have to turn the page here.
Sweeping the nation. Yeah, we got to get a sound effect for sweeping the nation.
Yeah, I don't think I have a broom sound effect, but that's something we'll work on.
All right.
So
shoot.
Let's start it out, Rick. Fact or fiction?
Since I'm holding my guns, go ahead. I'll shoot.
Holding your guns. I don't think. Is that what you said? Holding my.
Know.
Yeah, I think that is what you said. So, Rick, fact or fiction? Ryan, and I asked this specifically for you. Ryan Matthews performs as a number two running back this week against the Kansas City Chiefs. And your answer has to be a little more in depth than no, because I hate Ryan Matthews.
I don't hate Ryan Matthews. I'm just not convinced that he's fully back, to be honest with you. And, and I probably was a little quick on RB2 numbers because I don't know what you consider RB2 numbers. But
if you can give me even double digits, give me 60 yards and a touchdown. Is Ryan Matthews capable of putting up 60 yards and a touchdown this week?
In PPR, I'll give you the old
okay.
The standard.
Yeah, you're probably right. I don't see him going crazy. Nobody's really put up a lot of running stats on Kansas City. I think it's a good matchup overall. I do like Matthews. I think he's coming back. I think he's going to settle in here for a few weeks as an RB2. I think one thing we disagree with, you're going to start hammering the button. You know, I do think Ryan Matthews works himself into an RB1 before this year's over. This week, not quite yet, but RB2, get me 12 points. That's about where I'd be comfortable with an RB2 this year.
Well, I think this is the team that he can do it, to be honest with you. I mean, look, Kansas City, you know, contrary to what you said, they actually have been shredded pretty well, you know, about $122 a game. So, yeah, if he's running well, he's certainly, I mean, running well, meaning his shoulder's not bothering him and he's not afraid of contact and so forth, he certainly has the team to do it against. So.
Yeah, and the big thing, word coming out this week, he didn't get a lot of carries that last week after the fumble finally come out. I think we all knew it, but they basically finally admitted they sat him down after the fumble. I think that's over. The guy's been in the league long enough. It's not a Tom Coughlin situation with Wilson. He will get his chances again as long as he can manage to hold on to the ball.
Yeah,
should get himself 15 to 20 touches, and I think you can squeeze 12 fantasy points out of him in those amount of touches.
And that's one thing maybe, you know, take into consideration. Was that fumble just a fumble, or was it a fumble because, that shoulder hurt and that arm come loose? So, you know, I don't know.
It's possible. I don't think it came loose. We'd have probably heard about
loose
that.
Loose on the ball.
Oh,
you know.
I thought you meant actually dangling.
You're
like
very
loose.
Literal, I swear.
I am. That's what I do. So, Rick, let's move on. Let's get as many of these in as we can. I'll let you fire at me here. I'll hold to my guns.
Okay. Fact or fiction? Jay Cutler goes over 275 against Dallas.
Boy, that's a tough one. 275. I'm going to say no, and I have nothing to base it on. I like the corners for Dallas. Cutler, I feel, is going to turn the ball over. Is he going to have another one of these 120-yard games? I really don't think. 275 is asking an awful lot. I think they're going to try to establish the run. I think Cutler's going to spend a lot of time on his back this game. 275, I'm not ready to write off that number. I'll give you right around 200, a touchdown. I'd say 200, a touchdown, and two picks would be the stat line I put together for him this week.
And the reason I came up with that, because Cutler's certainly one of those guys that's capable to light somebody up.
He could put up 350
yeah,
as easily
exactly.
as he could put up 150, and that's what's so frustrating about him.
And he just has that temperament against good teams that all of a sudden he shines, and in another game he'll just look totally horrible. So, I mean, that's why I was wondering, you know, that's an interesting thing. I like their matchup, to be honest with you, this week. And I like him going around 275.
All right. I'll vehemently disagree with that one, but we'll take it. So that'll be something we can argue about on Tuesday. We'll decide who was right. So, Rick, fact or fiction? Mikel LeSueur matches last week's production this week versus Minnesota.
I don't think so. I think he's and I won't go with the same reason Jackson does, but I know he had a little groin issue and he's been limited in practice. I can see maybe his workload lightening up. Maybe Kevin Smith will get work back into it. So, no, I don't think he's going to have 100 yards.
Yeah, I agree 100%. I'm coming around on LeSueur. Really surprised me last week. Surprised me, number one, he got all the carries, or most of the carries. Kevin Smith got none. Got as many as he did, managed to get near or over that 100-yard mark. My biggest issue, especially this week when you talk about fantasy production, little stat I found, Minnesota has not allowed a rushing touchdown this season in five games total going back to last season. I think an underrated rushing defense they have in Minnesota. Not crazy. For me, Detroit's in complete disarray at this point. They're going to get behind. They're going to have to throw their way out. LeSueur, well, I think he's probably becoming an every – not probably. Right now, he is an every-week flex start. To max that production, to get over 20 carries, not going to happen this week. I agree with you 100%.
Yeah, I think Minnesota has basically been underestimated so far the whole year. I mean, you know, Peterson coming back, Ponder's capabilities, the defense – they seem to be coming together as a pretty good team.
Yeah, no question about it. Like a surprise team right now leading that division. You wouldn't have predicted that after 3 weeks.
Exactly. Tied with Chicago, of all people.
Uh-huh.
So, okay, fact or fiction, with Beanie Wells on IR, Ryan Williams produces RB2 numbers.
Yeah. That's a reluctant buzzer there. That's a reluctant fiction from me. The kid's got all the skill in the world. I just don't trust that offense whatsoever. I don't trust him health-wise. I don't trust him holding on to the ball. Going back to his days at Virginia Tech, his favorite thing to do on the planet is fumble the football. And I think you even saw last week when Wells went out, while Williams had a nice game, LaRod Stephen Hallings, I threw a tweet out, and I'm rooting for it to work out, as I threw a tweet out during the Hall of Fame game, I believe it was, you know, I said, I wouldn't be surprised if LaRod Stephen Hallings at the end of the year winds up leading Arizona in rushing. I'm starting to believe that more and more. I like Williams. I like what he can do. The kid's got all the talent in the world. It just doesn't seem to be working out for him. They're working Hallings in more and more, especially on passing downs. I just don't think week to week consistently I can trust him for anything but a bye week replacement.
See, I'll disagree. Hallings been hurt. And he hadn't even practiced this week, I don't believe. So I think everything comes on Williams this week. It's going up against Skins. I think the kid's got the tools. One thing I do agree with you with is his health. And, that knee was torn up pretty bad last year. But I think Ryan Williams is a pretty good start this week if you got him on your bench and maybe you happen to have Chris Johnson sitting there.
Okay, the name. That's weird. That's a question I was just following up with. I don't know if you could read it on my forehead or something. So this week you have to choose between Chris Johnson and Ryan Williams. You're starting Ryan Williams.
I think
if that was your best option. I don't disagree with benching Chris Johnson, but if that was my best option, I might give Johnson one more shot.
I think I would go Williams this week against the Skins and Johnson at Houston. Yeah, I think I'm going Williams.
Yeah, you know what? I you just might have talked me into it just by saying that. I blanked on the Houston. You're right. Let's throw out a couple other names this week. Ryan Williams, or who's low end for you? Here's a fiery one for you. Ryan Williams or Ryan Matthews. You know, one you're not crazy about.
I'd have to go Ryan Matthews.
We're looking RB3 type of deal this week, and you're going to be starting some RB3s with all the injuries and things like that. So, all right, I don't disagree with that. Too bad. Interesting. So let's move on. Here's one I had to bring it up one more time. Fact or fiction? And this is just gut feeling. We got nothing to base this on. Cedric Benson gets 18 carries this week versus New Orleans. Basically, that's an over under question. Good.
I think it's going to be an air show against New Orleans.
Yeah, I agree.
Now, I say that with a little bit of trepidation for the simple reason that they may not have to rush him 18 times, considering New Orleans gives up 215 yards a game rushing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I mean, they may hand it off to Cedric 15 times. He may have 150 yards.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm just telling you. I mean, New Orleans. I mean, I know that's a little exaggeration, but they are giving up 215 yards rushing per game. The next closest team is like 155, and that's the Bengals, and they just gashed them.
Yeah.
So, but I think it's going to be an air show, so I don't think he gets that many carries.
Yeah, you want to talk about a big game this week, even outside of fantasy? We won't devote another 20 minutes on this show to Cedric Benson. You want to talk about a huge game against two teams that you would have thought would have been pretty close to 3-0 coming to this. Both of these teams desperate going into this game, 1-2 and 0-3. Whoever loses this game is set up poorly for the rest of the way out. This has got 42-38 written all over. This is going to be a fun game to watch.
Yeah, it is. And, New Orleans wins, and both of them are 1-3. Actually, New Orleans, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, and I don't think Atlanta's going to lose. So even if they do win, they're going to be three games behind the Falcons anyway. But Green Bay, it's a critical game for them.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. So, yeah, it's going to be great. I can't wait for that one.
All right, moving on. Rick, fire away. I am ready.
Okay. This one that you kind of hit on, I hate to keep asking about him, but he's one of these tweener guys. Josh Freeman passes for 250 yards against the Skins.
That's a reluctant fact for me. That Skins defense seems you can really move the ball on them through the air. The way these games are going, they're turning into air shows with RG3 putting up big numbers. And Freeman, you're going to ride that roller coaster with him, and this has all the markings of a game where he can put that up. This is almost more gut feeling for me than any based in fact at all. Had a huge game, had just a disaster of a game last week against Dallas. Seems like a good bounce-back opponent. I'm looking for a bit of an air show against two teams you wouldn't think of it coming from. Your start of the week, Vincent Jackson. I like Freeman getting it to him this week.
I agree 100%. I mean, look, Tampa Bay is giving up 353 yards per game in passing. Washington's giving up 337. And if there's a game ripe for an air show, we were talking about New Orleans and Green Bay before. Man, this one sets up too.
Yeah.
And I think Freeman can do it easily.
All right, Rick, we'll keep it moving as quick as we can. I got a couple more left. We got 5 minutes to go here. Want to introduce some new out music I'm excited about. We thought was a lot of fun. Get all our plugs in. So I like this one. This is a question. This is something near and dear to your heart, going back to the Ronnie Brown, Ricky Williams days that you're so fond of. Fact or fiction, Arian Foster and Ben Tate score double-digit fantasy points this week versus Tennessee. That surprises me. Go ahead.
I just don't think they're going to have to. And I think Andre Johnson is going to have a good day. And I think one or the other is going to have the big day. I know Foster's been dinged just a little bit. And, I think maybe either Tate will have a big day or Foster's fine. I mean, he's one of those kind of guys. He's kind of like the Barry Sanders, limping around, and then he explodes. But I don't think they'll have to. So I'm going to say no.
All right, I am going to 100% disagree with you. I asked this question to get this point out, and you'd probably even agree with it. Well, maybe you don't if you don't see it this week. I think at this point, for me, Ben Tate has become an almost must-start, and if you're in a flex league, a must-start low-end flex guy week after week. I don't think you have anybody better on your bench to start in a flex spot, especially in like a three-wide receiver league. You know, maybe in a two-wide receiver league, you have a better receiver. You could work the matchups a little bit. If you're starting two running backs, three wide receivers, you don't have a better flex option than Ben Tate. In that role, Ben Tate is an every-week start for me. And each week I expect 25 to 30 fantasy points out of Foster, and I expect 10 to 15 out of Ben Tate. And if I can give me a guaranteed 10 to 15, I got a lot of guys on my roster I could replace that 10 or 15 points.
Yeah, you're right. Especially in a PPR format, you're right. Because both of them are very dangerous coming out, catching those passes. And, I can't argue with that. And, you know, when you asked just for this week, you know, I said no, just a gut feeling, nothing to base it on. But I agree 100%. Ben Tate is one of those guys, if you have him, especially if it's three wide receiver, you know, you throw him in the flex, there's nobody better.
Now, do you pull your game? I always like this. I like to talk to you about it because I'd never seen anybody do it before, and you did it with success. You started Ronnie Brown and Ricky Williams. You had Ricky Williams in your flex. Obviously, Ronnie Brown was your number two running back. These guys, a lot of people handcuffed them. We spent a lot of time on this show over several episodes saying, all right, you took Foster number one. Do you have to 6th, 7th round? Is that when you go for Tate for the handcuff? Do you consider playing both of these guys week to week, or even just in the right matchup, say against a Jacksonville? Are you as comfortable doing that, taking obviously knowing they don't have the wildcat like Miami did, which is why your strategy back then was so successful? Would you do it week to week?
Yeah, I guess depending on the matchup. Yeah, Ben Tate hasn't quite exploded this year like he did last year. You know, let's not, you know, beat around the bush. He had almost 1,000 yards last year as well. He's not quite on pace to do that. But, however, in PPR, he's still effective. And, yeah, I mean, if I've got Charles as my RB1 and somebody else in RB2, I wouldn't have any problem with Tate as my flex, just starting both of them.
Absolutely. So, interesting strategy there, Rick. We got time for one more quick hitter if you want to fire one at me, and we'll go ahead and mercifully end this show.
Mercifully, this has been Radio Gold. What is your problem, man? Okay, fact or fiction? Are you ready?
Oh, I couldn't be more ready.
Carolina will stay within 15 points of Atlanta.
Nothing to base it on, Rick. This is just, do you ever get those feelings? You're a bit of a gambler. Upset special for me this week. I think it's close. I think Carolina covers the spread. Think Carolina could manage to win this game. I heard this. I'm completely
in the dome.
I'm completely plagiarizing this, and I can't tell you where I heard it. I was digging around on the radio on my way home from work today. Something very interesting to think about. We talk a lot about how hard it is for those West Coast teams to come east and for those East Coast teams to go west. So far, Atlanta, I don't remember where they started. They've been to Denver. Yeah, they started at Denver. They went home. No, that's not true. Anyhow, they've been west. They were home in week two. Back out to San Diego last week. Back home this week. This is three trips east-west the whole way across the country. Seems like Carolina's down. We're all down on them. Seems ripe for an upset to me. I'm going to pick Carolina to beat, and I'm going to really go on record. And this is one I could pay for. Pick Carolina to beat the Atlanta Falcons this week.
Okay, you heard that first here in the asylum from Mr. Fligger. He picks Carolina to beat Atlanta in the dome. I can't disagree much more. But I think it may be closer. I don't think Atlanta goes down at home against Carolina this week. And they're playing well. They're pretty healthy. And I just don't see Carolina take. I just don't think Carolina's defense is up to the task of stopping Atlanta.
It's certainly positive. And logically, you're right. I just think I was so struck by that stat I heard. Those guys going back and forth three different times already. You get worn out. You get bogged down. You're not taking Carolina seriously, as you're not. If the Falcons, you have to believe they may not be as well.
I disagree there because it is a division game. They know each other. They don't like each other. I don't think – and especially as many different winners that division's had, I don't think anybody looks past anybody in that division.
Well, it's certainly possible. It's the only division that goes bottom to top every year. The last place team the year before wins the thing consistently. So that's it, Rick. Thank God it is over. I hope we salvage it after a disastrous beginning. I can go about the business of cleaning up the studio when we're done here. So we will be back big time week four. They can hear this show Saturday at some point. I believe Slippery Rock kicks off at 6 o'clock this week on WSRU. Sometime before that, hopefully you'll hear us there.
Yes, indeed. On WSRU 88.1. FM, the voice of the rock, and don't forget to check us out at asylumfantasyfootball.com.
Hit us up on Twitter this weekend. Any last-minute lineup questions you have, at Asylum Football. Send us some questions at asylumfootball@gmail.com. Until Tuesday, we'll be back live on the Blitz. We'll see you then.
Take care.
Get stuck, gonna grab you a beer and get on up in the truck. It's going down tonight. It's all on me, it's BYOB, and I got all we need. Yeah, boy, I'm about to show me a set of slicker. Have a ticket and a stitch with the critters, and I'm on the side of them. I'm wild. Girls, girls, if it don't, you're gonna grow. So we hang out by the bonfire. Good old boys having a thing at a time. We crank it up. Throwing down in a dirty, dirty, slap down. Being all night with the hippies.